Blessed are the machines, for they shall inherit the earth. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. We are going to have a wonderful time with my returning guest co-host and contributor today, R.D. Palmer. For those of you who follow The Parker J. Cole Show on Saturdays at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, you know that R.D. is our guest expert on the topic of artificial general intelligence. And that series is a long-running series. We have so much that we have covered, and then so much more we have to continue covering. So if you want to get more information about RD, make sure you go to rdpalmerbooks.com. But what's really fascinating is that that whole conversation began with the book that we're talking about tonight, The One. And I love how R.D. put this together. He said, "Blessed are the machines, for they shall inherit the earth." Do you think we're drinking the Kool-Aid? I assure you we're not. But you may not believe me. But by the time we finish this conversation, this rather fascinating, very provocative conversation about The One, written by R.D. Palmer, let me tell you, you are going to wonder if the machines will indeed inherit the earth. For those of you who know me, I will be at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference coming up next month. Can you believe it? June 20th through the 22nd at Hope International University. I hope to see you there. Go online and sign up today at SoCalCWC.com. I want to thank you all for your support of my newest release, Wanted Fire Chief, book 26 of the Silver Pine series. Let me tell you, your response has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for your support. And for those of you who want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Spec Faith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, your girl, the Queen of Tuesday Nights here. And we are talking to my returning guest, co-host, and contributor today, R.D. Palmer. Like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, blessed are the machines, for they shall inherit the earth. Sounds like heresy. Sounds like we're drinking the Kool-Aid. Not quite. And R.D., I want to thank you so much for being with me on the show. Those of you who have listened to the Parker J. Cole Show, you know R.D. very, very well. But just in case, let's go ahead and introduce R.D. to you. So, R.D., how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, Parker, and it is a real pleasure to be with you again and your audience. And before we begin, I really want to take this opportunity to thank Peter Younghusband, because it was because of him that he was able to connect me to you. So, Peter, if you're listening, I just want to thank you tremendously. This has been a fantastic journey. And, Parker, thank you so much, because you and I have been on, and as you said a little bit earlier, numerous Saturday programs. And just thank you for that opportunity just to express something that is present within our time now and is only going to increase. So thank you so much.
And I want to thank Peter Younghusband, because he's such a valuable asset to us at PJC Media, and he always just has an open heart for giving, and we want to thank him so very much, because R.D. and I have become really good friends just by our shared interest in this topic. He's the expert. I'm the one soaking in all of your intelligence, and as the more I listen to you and more I listen to the shows over and over again, you start to see this very interesting thread in society about the machines inheriting the earth, and that really is one of the core themes in your book, The One, but we're not going to get there just yet. We're not going to get that just yet, but I really want to let our audience know that, hey, if you want to come and join in the conversation, make sure you do by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. We'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments, disagreements, we definitely want to hear from you. So, R.D., you know, people may not know who you are, so go ahead and tell us a little bit about your career.
I will. As a matter of fact, I'm going to add a little bit. I think that, again, there's probably five, if I remember correctly, the Saturday programs that we've had. So let me add to that a little bit, not a whole lot. But specifically, I think people know that, you know, when I was going to college, I had punch cards. I hacked into the computer system at school and stuff such as that. But a couple things I just want to mention. When I was going to college, I was a professed agnostic. I didn't know whether or not that there was a God, and I was basing my beliefs upon scientific principles. It was because of an organization by the name of Campus Crusade for Christ that introduced me to Christianity, and I did become a Christian at that point in time. It actually changed my life because of the fact that I continued in my scientific studies, but I took Greek in college. Now, for those people that are familiar with Greek, I took what's called Attic Greek, as compared to Koine Greek. Koine is what's written in the Bible, Attic Greek. If you studied Attic Greek, then you can absolutely read and speak Koine Greek. But anyway, so I studied Greek. I studied apologetics, hermeneutics, eschatology. I went full-blown into this because of the fact that I wanted to assure myself that that there was a God, that Christ was real. And, of course, this has been a fantastic thing for me. A couple things I do want to add, one of them which to me, it's kind of interesting. I mentioned before that I was writing programs for robots, and I'll tell you the name. I don't like to drag in my former employers, but in a way, this is kind of important. So the name of the company that I was working for is ABB, Ace of Brum Bavaria. They're a Swiss company, and the reason why I pulled them in to this conversation is because when I was writing programs, they were industrial robots, right? If we come all the way fast forward to 2018, the year that I wrote the book, and which was released in November of 18, on October of 2018, Ace of Brum Bavaria announced that they were building the world's largest robotic manufacturing facility in Shanghai, China. And it was what was so interesting to me was that humans need not apply. And the reason for it is because as they make robots, who is making the robots? Robots. wrote that manufacturing facility. You guys can use your favorite search engine. ABB, Shanghai, China. It should be up and running in 2020. So when we started out, they were crude. I mean, the robots didn't walk or anything such as that. Again, they were industrial robots. And now, by the time we get to 2020, which is right around the corner, world's largest robot manufacturing facility will open, and robots will be making robots. Anyway, so from there, what I did is I worked for one of the world's largest computer hardware companies. I worked specifically on the software side. Being a software technology person, I literally worked in several countries, most of them in Latin America. Sometimes I was off over in Asia, sometimes in Canada. But anyway, it gave me an opportunity to visit with different cultures and understand people, not just their religions, but their beliefs and stuff such as that. And then the majority of my career was with the world's largest business software company. And one thing that is probably a surprise to most of your listening audience, because I haven't told them this as of yet, but certainly my editors knew this, is that when I was writing the book, I was really encouraged. It was kind of like, I don't get a soft speak or a loud speak from God. It's just, it's kind of hard for me to explain it. It's mostly that I need to do something, and after it's done, that I recognize that that's really what God is asking me to do. But I needed to say that when I was writing the book, I was blind or partially blind, and I'll explain to your audience about this. So I couldn't drive, and I couldn't watch TV because I couldn't see the characters or, you know, the people on TV. And when my wife and I, we would go to, let's say, a fast food restaurant and pick whichever one that you want, Taco Bell, McDonald's, or whatever the case may be, I literally remember standing right where the cashier is, and I could not read any of the words of the sign. So that's how blind that I was. And so what I had at that point in time is I had what was called cornea dystrophy. And to correct that, what they had to do is they had to do a transplant. So I got a transplant in both eyes. So while that was going on, I was literally writing this book, and that was in 2018. So that's probably new to, again, most of your listening audience, but there was real urgency and a sense of urgency that I needed to get that book out in 2018. And it was interesting because January of 2019, then Shoshana Zuboff, who's a famous Harvard professor, she writes, and she's a little bit more specific in her book, which did become a bestseller, number one, but she writes about surveillance capitalism. But my book is a little bit broader. It's writing about not only that, but the whole artificial intelligence. And the reason why I was writing that, Parker, is because of the fact that it is really a public service. I've got concern for the public. And a lot of people, if you don't come from the software industry, you may not realize that software kills. Occasionally, it can kill you, right? And, for example, those people that may not believe that it could kill you, then just think back to the Boeing 737 MAX, you know, which obviously people died back then. So I was writing this as a public service, really, to bring attention to something that very few people understand. And in that understanding, for example, the elite, which I'm not part of by any means, but they go every year to Davos, Switzerland, which I've been to there, but I haven't been at their meetings, and it's the World Economic Forum. And there was a speaker by the name of Yuval Harari, and this is what he said. He said, the world is divided into a very, very small minority of people concentrated in a few corporations and governments that have a clearer idea of what is really happening and what is at stake. The vast majority of humanity, they just don't have the time, they don't have the volition, they don't have the education or the ability make sense of what is happening. This is very, very dangerous. And so you'd say, well, what is dangerous? And so I'm going to quote a few people so that we can set the table of what this is all about. Well, Google CEO and the guy that, I mean, I actually respect him a lot, Sundar Pichai, And I probably pronounced his name a little bit wrong, but anyway, he's very, I admire him because of his intelligence. He testified to Congress, and he said artificial intelligence could be more profound for human society than electricity or fire. And people may not understand how big that's going to be. It's going to revolutionize everything. Well, let's take a look at it from a couple other people that, you know, that know, or in this case, he's recently died, but Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking said that the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. AI could be the worst event in the history of our civilization. It brings dangers like powerful autonomous weapons or new ways for the few to oppress the many. And Elon Musk, we know him because of Tesla and, you know, the SpaceX, he says AI, which is artificial intelligence, AI is the biggest risk that we face as a civilization. And one of the quotes that I like is actually from neuroscientist. His name is Sam Harris, and we've talked about him on previous Saturday programs. But what he said is, he said, we have to admit that we're in the process of building some sort of a god. Now would be a good time to make sure it is a god that we can live with. So I had this urgency that people from a Christian perspective, they're interfacing with artificial intelligence, and they kind of feel it, but they don't see what's going on completely. And specifically, there's two things that from people that are, I'll say, that are brighter than me, they say, one, can we control AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, and there's really a big debate about that, because if you have an entity that is super intelligent, far more superior intelligence than any human, how can you contain it? But the thing that got me is that there's a number of scientists and behavioral scientists that said what we need to do is we need to instill into artificial general intelligence our values. And boy, when I heard that, I just really flipped out. And the reason why I flipped out on that is because my values, which are Christian values, are not your values, so I'm getting really concerned. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of background about this and why the book was written, and it was specifically written for the Christian community. Now, non-Christians can certainly read it, and I welcome that, but it was written to really open the eyes to what is happening. So hopefully that lays a little bit of the groundwork there for you, Parker.
And it does, because a lot of our viewers may think that we're drinking Kool-Aid, which is totally fine. I totally get that, because even I was skeptical when we first started talking. I was skeptical of a lot of things you were saying, not because I didn't believe you. I just didn't think of the wide impact some of these things can have. And when I've shared it with my family, even, they kind of laugh. I said, just listen to the show, but then they don't listen, so what can you do? But at the same time, it's the thing is that we want to at least give you the information so you can make your own decisions and so you can be informed. And like you said, that sense of urgency that you felt, which led to the genesis of the one and the subsequent books that's coming after this one, is to let people know that, hey, technology is a wonderful thing, but it has to have limits, and those limits come because we have to put those limits on it. And there are people who are not Christians who understand the dangers of having artificial general intelligence. If you don't know what artificial general intelligence is, guess what? We have 5 shows. We have delved into this topic very deeply. So make sure to follow pjcmedia.net and find out what all that is about. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. And when we come back, I'm going to let you hear a few excerpts from The One, which is the book that RD is doing with us today. He has the audio clips for us. And if you want to weigh on the conversation, we would love to hear from you. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's J-O-E-Y-T-W-E-E-T-S joeyetweets.com. joeyetweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to R.D. Palmer. He is the author of the book, The One. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. For those of you who may recognize R.D.'s name, you know he has been our expert for our AGI series that we've been doing on the Parker J. Cole Show on Saturdays at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We've delved into the topic of AGI, why you should be concerned, and what you can do to be aware of what's going on around you. One thing that R.D. said before he went to our break, he said, it's a public service announcement. And when I hear that, I always think of the TV going, and you stop, and you listen, and you wait for the words on the screen. You wait to hear the narrator talk. Because obviously this is so important that you have to stop everything that you're doing to be aware of the instructions that's coming or the information coming your way. And this is the same thing, is to be aware of what's going on around you. So first of all, as Christians, we can prayerfully pray for the state of our world to make sure that we don't make the wrong decisions when it comes to our technology, which God gave us. Please understand, God gave us this technology, the smarts to create this technology. There's nothing wrong with that. And R.D. and I have said plenty of times we're not against technology, but the fact that we need to be careful of what we do with the technology that we have and how we're supposed to utilize that. So that's one thing that I like about that you said, R.D., about it being a PSA, the fact that it's like, stop and listen. Here's what's going on. So I like that analogy that you used. And what I want to do really quickly, I want to play a couple of clips from The One. Like I said, it's available on Amazon.com. And tell us about this first clip, R.D. I want our listeners to know about before I push play.
Yeah, so just a little bit of background. So this book combines the furthest that you can go on technology, which is AGI, and then it brings in one of the most conservative religious organizations, which is Amish, and here we have the protagonist, who her name is Naoma, and think of the book of Exodus. So in the book of Exodus, what you had was the Israelites that they were leaving Egypt to go to the promised land, and in this way, this is kind of mimicking that, and they're going to go to Mount Horeb. Think of Mount Horeb is where Moses met with God and the Ten Commandments. So from chapter 8 on this segment, you have Amish, which are marching out of Dalton, and Dalton's a literal, Mount Horeb's a literal place here in Wisconsin as well as Dalton. But anyway, so they're taking this exodus, and in this, they need a sign of encouragement from God. So that's what this segment is from chapter 8.
All right, we're going to go ahead and hear this one moment.
With a yank, Jacob pulled her up as if she were a feather. Jacob's consideration and strength urged Naoma to kiss him as payment, but she held back her emotions. Looking into his eyes, she thought, I thank God for creating men. They are irresistibly handsome. God made them rugged, reliable, and spruce. Finding a man with the additional qualities of tenderness and kindness is a match made in heaven, my heaven. Again, Elijah led the way as the community marched. That morning, Naoma could tell people were weary and fearful of other scouts. While Anne drove, Naoma wrote in her memoir and asked God if anything could be done to encourage her community. Then miraculously and spontaneously, Martha began to sing a song from her Ausbund music book.
Mit Freuden wollen wir singen, wie wir beschlossen haben. Wir, die wir wollen bringen, dem Herrn des Opfer schon. Fröhlich von wir sangen, in Fried und Einigkeit. Das ist unser Verlangen, das Gott mit Lob gesangen, als Opfer wird bereit.
And that was an excerpt from R.D. Palmer's The One, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. You know, I have to remark as far as the excerpt, how Naoma says, you know, men were made rugged. And I was like, really? They were? You know, so anyway, just a little joke there. I like the music because I know the audiobook has a lot of music and things that are just really profound and spread out throughout the narrative of the book. And so tell us a little bit about the background of the song that she was just singing.
Yeah, so in English, it's given a sacrifice to God is what it is. And, of course, it's in German is because that's what they speak German, and they'll speak English to you if you go up and talk with them, right? But so what's interesting about that song, at least to me, is they have their songbook is called the Ausbund. And if you look at it, of course, it's really hard to read. It's in German. But the key thing that I see about it is that it has no musical notes. You have no idea even that it's a songbook. It's just a bunch of text. So you literally have to listen to what they're saying. And in this case, there was a recording. I was able to get a recording of what they were doing, and I was able to give it off over to that singer. And I thought that they did a wonderful job of that. But, again, it's about sacrificing to God and bringing an offering to God is what it is.
The other clip that we're going to share before we get back into our interview is from chapter 29 of the book. Go ahead and tell us a little background about that.
So in this one, it's where Naoma is being called to go out and lead a mission against the one. And it reminds me that so many times, even as writers, that God calls you to be a writer, and many times you might say, no, that's not me. In this case, God is calling her to go on a mission against one, and she's saying, no, that's not me. So she's struggling against it. And so what you'll hear is that her emotions about that, and then she's going to get on a train, actually, is what it is, that maglev-type train. But so you'll hear that.
All right. We have the excerpt playing right now.
Naoma, we need to go now. Logan yelled again. Then Sarah echoed, Naoma! As if pushing through a thick fog, Naoma reached out and hugged Janet, and then she hugged Jacob. Naoma bent down and waved at Janet's daughter. Standing back up, Naoma nodded her head, and she trembled, blurting out, I'll pray for you too, all three of you. Not wasting another second, Naoma turned so they wouldn't see the tears filling her eyes. With her heart beating fast, she raced to the transporter, up the steps into the cabin, past Logan and Sarah, and dropped into a window seat. She wanted to hide. She wanted to cry, to curse, to hit. But most of all, she wanted a different life. This is not the life I signed up for, God, she whispered.
And that, again, is another excerpt from The One, available on Amazon.com by R.D. Palmer. I like the fact how, you know, we all have those things like, this isn't what I signed up for when God calls us to do certain things. This isn't what I signed up for. Like, I want to be a writer. A lot of people say that. I want to be a writer. I use that because I'm in the profession. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people need to learn the discipline that comes with writing. It's a discipline that comes with a dedication to finish your goal and to actually take your art very seriously. And that's not just writing, but with anything. And so I like how you said that. But give us some of your thoughts when you listen to that clip. Give us some of your thoughts on there.
So she really didn't want to – well, she wanted to obey God, but she didn't want to be called to do this. I mean, here she is. She's a young lady. And then why would she be called to go on a mission? And she's Amish. in addition to being a young lady. So why should she be called to go against on a mission to attack the one? And I just thought that it's just so much like, I'll say me personally, and I think it's like others, that so many times that God calls us and we resist. We drag our feet. We look for other ways to get out of it. But God wants us to do this. And then, you know, I want a different life, God. No, this is your life. Trust me. Hold my hand. I'll be there with you. And that's what Naomi had to work through, that she was trusting God. But she was just struggling with her emotions through that.
Now, so many people, and you've mentioned this before, have helped you with this book, you know. So on the journey of this book becoming what it is, who are some of those people that have helped you?
Yeah, there. You know, for me, it was not a one-person show. I had a tremendous number of people helping me, and thank you for bringing this up, because just to give a shout-out, a couple people, and I'm not even sure that they're listening, Dennis Spiegel and Bruce Burton. In 2013, they were Academy Award nominees. They wrote the music and the words to the Academy Award-nominated song, Alone, Not Alone. And so I've been in conversation with them for quite some time. They graciously allowed me to use part of their song. I'm not allowed to use that song on the radio, but it is in the audiobook. So anyway, I was just very thankful. Yeah, I come again from the software industry, so I'm keenly sensitive to using other people's materials, very sensitive to that, because I've seen it in the software industry when people would abuse our software. Anyway, so I do want to thank my editors, because of the fact I've mentioned that I'm not an author. I am an author, but I'm not natural as an author. So I relied on editors. I had Amy, who actually helped to bring me over the finish line of this. And as I mentioned, I had partial or near blindness. I would even mix up some words. Instead of saying I would type, instead of saying thus, it would be typed out as this instead of thus. I mean, it's, you know, simple, dumb things like that. My vision, thanks to the transplant, is so much better. Thanks to the narrator, Patty, the Billy Graham Evangelical Association helped me. I had two people there that helped. Capital GMC, which is a music industry down in Tennessee. There's a song, again, I'm not allowed to play this on the radio, but it actually comes from Psalm 5. Bill Sprouse Jr., he passed away, went to with the Lord, but he had written that. That's included. People from NASA had helped me. And a couple other things is I've pulled in 20 or so, I think it's maybe a little bit over 20, 19th century Christian composers. So I actually leveraged off of them. And the reason why 19th century is because of the fact, again, licensing concerns. And I had a number of people that helped me with a focusing group. I mentioned this because of the fact, again, I don't consider myself a natural writer, but these focusing groups, what they showed to me was how to take every chapter, or just about every chapter, and make it a cliffhanger, or a mini cliffhanger, if you will. So it's because of them, I think, that the book, and all these other people, editors, and Dennis Spiegel, and so on, but a tremendous number of people helped me, and I just want to thank them. So thank you for even bringing that up, Parker.
Well, we should always give honor to whom honor is due, and I always say this on the show that I never take it lightly when people take time out to be with you. And when you realize that no one has to do anything for you, and the fact that they do, it's amazing. And it's not because you're paying, it's because of the kindness of their heart, or just you reached out to them, they were able to donate their time, their expertise, even their prayers. Just, no one has to do anything for you. And for me, that's the clinch for me when it comes to relationships that I build with people. So I'm glad to give you the opportunity to thank those people. So when you share the link with them later, they can say, hey, RD was thanking me, and I want to be a blessing to that. So about the book, as we get into The One, because The One is a very interesting mishmash of genres. And I remember when Peter Young's husband told me about this book, he said, Parker, because, you know, we had these early morning conversations. So he goes, Parker, you got to read this guy's book. You got to. I couldn't do it. You got to think. I said, Peter, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. And so he told me about it. I said, Amish? And then I said, dystopian, you know, so like, what are we talking about here? I mean, that shouldn't even be the same sentence, Amish and dystopian, because usually dystopian is usually it has a technical element to it, a technological element to it. And Amish is usually away from that. And even when I had an Amish writer on my show several months back, she wasn't even using her own phone. You know, she was using someone else's phone. That's the only way she can be on the show because her beliefs.
That's right.
Which is really, it was. I was so happy to have an Amish author on my show. I was like, yes! I just felt like I had arrived, you know. So anyway, but this book is so multifaceted, you know. And one of the things is that it's like an orchestra. And like an orchestra plays a lot of musical instruments, this book is also multi-layered. And I want you to discuss how it is in that way, like an orchestra. And we're not being a, we're not trying to be boastful. We're just saying that the one has a lot of layers to it. And we want our listeners to know what those layers are.
Yeah, thank you, Parker. Yeah, it is multifaceted. So, and again, I think part of this anyway comes from the focus groups when I was working with them. But there, you can read this, and there's several reviewers out there that depending upon the level that you're reading it, you're going to get one thing out of it, and other people are going to get other things out of it. So, for example, there's a full layer of adventure, and the adventure, and I wrote this so that it would be entertaining. I didn't write it as an academic paper by any means. I wrote it to where it would be enjoyable to read and that people could learn something from it. And that, there, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that there'd be cliffhangers, mini cliffhangers throughout it. There's a deep theological theme through it, and that's, again, I wrote this for the Christian audience. And so in that theological area, apologetics, which is to be able to give a defense of, so I wanted, I go back to when I was in college. Remember I mentioned that I was agnostic. So I really wanted to understand how could I, as a writer, through these characters, with seeing so much death and destruction, how could they come to terms that there really is a God? How could they do that? And then, so that's the apologetic. So, for example, there's a lot of apologetics books which I've read about Christ and, you know, rising from the dead, but there's few, at least, that I've read about that's dealing with, you know, the creation of the universe and God the Father and such as that. So that's included in the book. There's a little bit of eschatology, which is about the future. And then there's philosophy that's associated with that. So you're trying to think, for example, I think, therefore I am, which is from Rene Descartes, right? So it's why do I exist? Do I not exist? There's science that's involved because it's AGI. There's science fiction because of the fact that it's dealing with, in my case in the book, it's near future. And you mentioned dystopia because of the fact that there's destruction that's associated with it, and Amish. And I use the Amish because of the fact I see Amish, not every day, but certainly, let's say, on a weekly basis, I see them. I don't live right next door to them, but they're still a few miles away. Usually they come in to the area that I live in because of the fact that they're building, helping people build barns and such as that. But I use them in the book because of the fact, again, there's extremes. That well, maybe 1% of the population understands artificial intelligence, AGI, and maybe 1% of the people understand the Amish. So I kind of pulled all of that in together. And as you read the book, you'll actually understand more about the Amish beliefs. And I was quite surprised. You know, I talk to the Amish people a little bit, but I don't get deep in with them. So a lot of what I've learned was from reading other books. But if you will, just to give you an example of that multi-layer, so what I did is I picked a few reviews, actually, which you can see on Amazon, and let me just read a few of these. So the first one is, this is one of the most unique and interesting faith-based novels I've ever read. This novel explores the dystopian potential that is artificial intelligence. I never read a Christian perspective on AI. The writing is clear and pointed while keeping the reader engaged throughout is truly an interesting take for future potential. And one person said, Palmer has written an incredibly intricate book that will leave you on the edge of your seat. The plot is well developed, full of twists and turns. The story is well written and will make you ponder more on the human condition and the condition and how, despite our differences, which there are plenty of differences with humans, but despite our differences, we are very similar to one another. And just two others real quick. One person wrote, as a longtime science fiction fan, I can definitely say that this made it into my top 10 sci-fi books. And the last one is, I'm still in awe of what I just read. The book has it all. This is a book I'll always want to read, but a book, I've read it thrice already, and I'm yearning more for it. It's a book for the top of the shelf, a book I believe everyone should read at least once in their lifetime. It is that good. So when I was looking at all these reviews out there on Amazon, I said, wow, I'm pretty happy with the reviews. And they actually mirrored, as you were talking about, that layer of different musical instruments with the orchestra, Parker.
One thing, too, I want to let our audience know is that we have a giveaway today. I forgot to mention this earlier, so I'm so sorry about that. We have a giveaway today. Today only, May 14th, 2019, we have a giveaway. Go ahead and tell us what those – oh, actually, I have two giveaways, what those giveaways are.
Yeah, so I tried to make my book for free, but Amazon, for whatever reason, wouldn't allow me to do that. But so I do have two things. The first one is that I was able to get my book down to 99 cents. And hey, if you want to email me and if you don't want to take the risk of 99 cents, I am happy to give that book away to you for free. So I can do that. And as I've done it to other people, the ebook. So, mm-hmm. But it is, I have dropped the price, which Amazon only let me to go to 99 cents. Tomorrow afternoon, I'll put it back up. But in addition to that, I'm writing the second book, and it's interesting because the way that I wrote this, there's three books, but I wrote the second book first, and now I'm writing the first book. So I did it out of order.
Mm-hmm.
But in this next book, there's a 3,000-word chapter that I've written. The title of it's about worship. And the interesting thing about this, there's two things. One is that there's a preacher, since it's talking about worship, he is talking about a prophet by the name of Plotinus. And I'd like to speak a little bit about him in just a moment. So he's preaching to the audience, and he's talking about this prophet by the name of Plotinus. So that's in the chapter. It's 3,100 words. But the other thing that I've got in there is that the book discusses something that is in our universe that's physical, that is faster than the speed of light. Okay, now many people say, well, light is the fastest thing. And the answer is, no, light is not the fastest thing. I'm not talking spiritual. I'm not talking God or thought or substance. It's that. There's something that's physical in our universe that is actually faster than the speed of light. And that is also in the book. So if you want to reach out to me, again, either the Amazon book, 99 cents, or you could reach out to me and give it to you for free. And I'd certainly give you this, anybody that wants this chapter that's 3,100 words long from the next book.
For those of you listening in, we have been talking to R.D. Palmer. He's the author of the book, The One, available on Amazon.com. or wherever books are sold. And today only, it's available for 99 cents. Make sure you go ahead and get your copy today. And guess what? Even if you can't afford it for 99 cents, just simply contact him at rdpalmerbooks.com. Contact him there. He'll give you a free copy of the ebook, not the audiobook, because the audiobook is phenomenal. You don't want to get a free copy of that. You want to enjoy your investment into what he did there. But go ahead and get your copy of The One today. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, more excerpts from The One and your questions and comments coming up in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask? club members and authors at your next book club meeting. Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
And both scouts aimed their spears at Jude.
Wait, wait! I have a message for the one!
The scouts maintained their position, and Jude only heard the response of their buzzing wings.
The one is in danger. I have to get this message. Swoosh.
Another harpoon fired, this time grazing Jude's other ear. Jude knelt down, holding his hands high, and he wailed, tears streaming down both cheeks.
I worship the one. I love the one. I give my life to the one. Please, I have an important message for the one. Please.
The scouts turned their heads, looking at each other. And then the beating of their wings roared.
Jude wept and placed both hands over his eyes. Please, dear, the one!
Jude yelled in agony as the scout's claws grabbed at his arms and lifted him into the sky, his feet dangling. Now above the tree line, the scouts turned and sped forward. Facing backward, Jude was unable to see where he was going. Within seconds, the clearing, Jude's gun, and the one's Anubis disappeared in the distance.
And that was an excerpt from The One, written by R.D. Palmer, which is available on Amazon.com today for 99 cents only, so make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy. And R.D., that was just a fascinating excerpt that you shared with us about The One, especially when he says, I worship The One. Tell us a little bit about who the one is. What's the surprise behind it?
Yeah, it was actually a surprise to me. So just to give you a little bit of background that, you know, when it comes to creating names in a book and stuff such as that, I don't know, I just think of the name like Jacob, and I thought, you know, that would work for one of the characters, Naomi, and stuff such as that. And there was nobody that told me name the antagonist, the one, and I don't know. It wasn't like I was doing any research. I just knew that it shouldn't be named, you know, Frank or something such as that. And the one is an artificial intelligence entity. Well, what was a big surprise to me is that I wrote that book it was published in 2018, November 2018, and then fast forward to November 9th, 2019, and I'm on the Parker J. Cole show. And Jeremy from Dalton, Alabama, he asked an excellent question, and the question is about the soul. And I think I answered it, but I'll just say straightforward. I think I kind of stumbled through answering Jeremy's question. So after the call, and that was November the 9th, I said, well, let me just do a little bit of research. And, you know, I just was doing research about the soul because I covered it probably lightly in the book. I didn't go a whole lot into the soul. But I wanted to understand a little bit more. And lo and behold, I find out. Now, again, this was months after I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. So lo and behold, that there's a philosopher. He was a giant, an intellectual giant of the 3rd century. So he lived from 205 to 207 A.D. His name was Plotinus. He was so his writings were so affected so many people. It affected Christianity, the Gnostic movement, which is the early church movement, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism. I'm saying, who is this guy? Anyway, so he was probably the first person, as I come to find out, and this was 200 A.D., that was talking about the one. And I said, how could that be? And they said, I didn't even know this, and it's in my book. So there's, I just so happened to come across an esteemed historian. His name is Professor Kenneth Harl, H-A-R-L. He got his PhD from Yale, and he currently teaches at Tulane. And this is what Professor Kenneth Harl said. He said the one, in Greek, is tohen, T-O-H-E-N, is a term used by Plotinus to define the ultimate, infinite, divine reality that is the source of all creation. Plotinus, who was at the apex of more than 500 years of Platonic thought, presented a mystical, henotheistic vision of the divine world. And he, Plotinus, referred to glimpsing the One, which is the ultimate Godhead. And then the professor goes on to say, and this is his words, quote unquote, this is what he said. He says, I always like to think of the Platonian God as essentially a computer, eternally output, going into new input. Think HAL 9000 series of 2001, A Space Odyssey. It is an eternal computer operating steadily. And I'm saying, my word. So I wrote the book in 2018. Jeremy asked the question in 2019, and then I come across this. I said, I knew nothing about this. And I say, wow, you know, God was just leading my hand. I mean, that's one of the instances I can say, which there have been several in my life, that, again, God's not speaking through me with a booming voice, but things happen. And I say, here, the title of the book, and the main character, one of the main characters of the book is the One, and actually this fully explains that it was, if you will, talked about and prophesized what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. It lets you know that you're on the right path by making people aware of what's going on. And for those of you, we have talked about what this could be as far as implications for those who have the futuristic view of end times. What the implications of that would be. So that's on that series of artificial general intelligence. So just listen to those and give us your thoughts. Like I said, we're not here to make you believe anything, but if you want to disagree with us, you know you're more than welcome to. We don't mind that at all. But it's some interesting things going on with this thing called artificial general intelligence and the creation of it. And you know, RD, from our last show, just when I posted the show, not even, we hadn't even played it yet, just from posting the show all over the place, we have so many comments that we have to go through because so many people just had thoughts about it, had lots of thoughts, and we'll talk about that later on. But this is the book that helped to bring this information to mind. So if you're thinking that this would interest you, I assure you that it would. And it takes a very sobering look at when we allow the creation to become our God and not the creator who created us. It's very interesting how all that plays together. I'm going to play another excerpt. We have about two more I want to play. I have another excerpt here, so just listen in to the next excerpt.
They sang this song over and over again until three beeps buzzed on their comm wrists, signifying the 15-minute warning. Good night, Logan said. The three covered themselves inside their transformed tortoiseshell-like exoskeleton and camouflaged tent for the night. Snuggled inside their makeshift fort, they heard crickets chirping and occasional hoots from an owl. As their eyes grew heavy, a wolf howled, and the thunder from a waterfall echoed in the distance. Naomi wrote in her memoir, Dear Lord, you could have created robots to worship you if you wanted. Instead, you created us to be in your image. Your image is one of feelings, expressing love and concern. Thank you for this opportunity to show the world, those that will read this memoir, that you always keep your promises. Thank you for revealing to me the need for Bible virtues. Through our actions, by the recordings in this memoir, they will know these virtues.
And that's another excerpt from The One by R.D. Palmer. One thing I like that you said is that God could have created robots to worship you. We could have been on command. You know what I mean? Push, play, and worship. Matter of fact, some people think it would have been better if God had created robots, because we look at the state of the world and all of its insanity and depravity, and we go, why would he keep this ball going? Wouldn't you just throw it out and leave it? But God did not do that. And I like the fact that you use Naoma's wonder that he could have made robots, but he didn't. In a book about AGI, which is quote-unquote an omnipotent God, and the Amish who have to fight against it. And so for those of you listening in, that is an excerpt from The One. We do have one more excerpt to play as we get ready to end our show today. We do have one more excerpt to play, so I want to play that really quickly. So listen in.
Chapter 34, Reconnaissance. See what the land is like and whether the people living there are strong or weak. Few or many. Numbers 13, verse 18. Sirens wailed and a loudspeaker announcement squealed. Emergency! Emergency! This is an emergency! There was a pause and the sirens screamed. Recon bots have entered the refuge. Do everything you can to kill them before they go back and provide logistics of our operation. The sirens continued to wail, expressing the seriousness of the breach. Seek and destroy! Seek and destroy! Look there! Tabitha pointed and screamed as a swarm of insect-like creatures buzzed overhead. Over here! Andrew yelled, waving his hand. Look out! Someone yelled. Duck! Andrew yelled. Even though Tabitha ducked, the recon bots sliced bits of her hair.
And that, again, is another excerpt from The One, available on Amazon.com. It's gotten rave reviews. You can tell just from the audiobook that it's going to be an immersive experience. So I encourage you to also get a copy of The One via audiobook if you can. And today only, that book is 99 cents. So go ahead and take advantage of that discount, because I know you're going to love The One. And RD, one thing I have to mention is that what The One does is take the speculative fiction that so many of us like and put it into a real world context. And so with that, I want to just say thank you so much for answering the call that God gave you to write The One. Thank you so much for being on my Saturday show talking about artificial intelligence and how we need to make sure we put limitations on artificial intelligence for the seriousness that it brings, and not just to have people automatically dismiss it like I did. Because I automatically dismissed it, but I said I have to have an open mind, but automatically dismissed it. And the other people who are in the know about software, they're more cognizant of the inherent dangers of letting artificial intelligence just go crazy. And so with that, I want to give you an opportunity to encourage our other authors out there, you know, always in the show with an encouragement from our authors that we have on today. So go ahead and encourage our authors out there today.
Yeah, because of your ministry, Parker, you bring new authors and some actually experienced, well-named authors that have sold millions of books. And thank you so much for your ministry. And I just want to do a quick shout-out. Like, for example, John Worth, I've read his book, Moonshine Mage.
Moonshine Mage,
great book.
Yeah,
Moonshine Mage. Tim Bishop, The Wheels of Wisdom. Tammy Nelson with her Renee, which is a book about her life, the character's life and how it was all a lie. And Gary Rowe, who wrote Shattered and Surviving the Loss of a Child. And Ed Donnelly, who was just recently on your show about writing The Golden Altar and horse racing. You bring such tremendous authors on, and all these people just listen not only to their works and their books, but their testimonies also. And what a fabulous form. And so I just want to say that for me, one of the things that I looked at was that there's a, again, he's died, but the late Dr. Miles Monroe, he talked about what is the most precious place on planet Earth. And it's not, that place is not the gold mines or the diamond mines or things such as that, but it's the cemeteries. And the reason why is Dr. Miles Monroe talks about this, of the cemeteries being the most precious place on Earth, is because so many times the gifts that God gives you as an individual, you'll go to the grave with those gifts before you share it with others. And God has given the gift of writing. Maybe it's art or maybe it's music, but in this case, with this form and what Parker has, is writing. And if God has given you that gift, please don't go to the grave and share that. God wants you to share that. That is what the sharing will uplift so many people. And don't worry about the reviews. When you write, write to where the angels will sing. And that's really what you should be doing. Hello?
Sorry about that. I got the coughing really bad, and I felt something going in my throat there. But I want to thank you so much for supporting the Right Stuff, and so many authors have over the years. And one of the things that you said when you shared that clip with me, I had never heard that clip before. Never heard it. And I said, and I'm sitting there in astonishment going, oh, my goodness. You know, you kind of sit there like, oh, my goodness, this is beautiful. And so I'm glad that you used that clip to encourage other authors, because we don't want them to sit down on the gift that God gave them. We don't want them to not use the gift that God gave them, because he gave it to us to be used. And that's why I always say is to pick up the pen and write stuff. I say that almost every single show. The show is called Write Stuff for a reason. And so with that, I want to have people have an opportunity to follow you online. So go ahead and share your social media outlets if you have them.
Yeah, please reach out to me at rdpalmerbooks.com, and in the comments section, if you'd like a free book, the ebook, I can send it to you. And if you'd like the chapter of the next book, I'm happy to send that to you. So, again, it's www.rdpalmerbooks.com.
RD, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. Really enjoy having you. You always have a good time on Saturday, and we will be having another follow-up show to our AGI series. I really and highly encourage you to listen to that show, and then once we get finished with it, because it's going to be a lot of stuff in there, because we're barely just scratching the surface of the topic of AGI, but we want to at least give you a resource for you to be cognizant of what's going on in the world around you. The quote that you read earlier in the broadcast let you know that there are only a few people who really understand what's going on. And for whatever other reason, people are either too busy or just don't care. And we don't want to be in a don't care. We want to be cognizant of things around us. And so what that'll help you do is make sure you protect your information. Make sure you don't all just give out your information to any software that you may come across. There are robots that go out to collect your data. They go and collect your data. That's why we all talk about cookies. Mm-hmm. Some authors talk about, hey, I look up, let's say, flights to Jamaica, and then all of a sudden on your computer you'll see, you know, flights to Jamaica. Like, oh my gosh, I was just talking to my mom about flights to Jamaica. Why isn't it on my computer? Because there's software out there that picks up those type of words, because everyone's trying to make money, right? You know, and we're coming from a Christian perspective, but read Surveillance Capitalism. Read that. You know, if you think we're just making it up, read that book. And be cognizant of what's going on here, and protect your information, protect your data, protect so many things about you, you know. So that's why it's not just that, but we want to make sure you protect yourself. And then the one gives you an idea of what it means when we allow our creation, which is artificial intelligence, to go crazy, and that it will rule over us to where this becomes the reality, whereas blessed are the machines, for they shall inherit the earth. RD, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. Really enjoyed having you today.
Thank you, Parker. My pleasure. God bless.
And for those of you listening in, we were talking to R.D. Palmer. You know him from my Saturday show, AGI Series. Make sure you pick up a copy of The One today. It's available for 99 cents. Go ahead and get your copy. And let's say you don't have enough money for the copy, email him, R.D. Palmer Books. Go to his website, rdpalmerbooks.com. Email him, and he'll be more than happy to give you a free e-copy of his book, The One. And make sure you leave a review. Authors need reviews. It lets us breathe at night. It lets us know that we did what we said we were going to do. And if we didn't, we want to know about that too, so we can get better at this thing we call writing. Are you sitting on your gift? Please stop doing that. Pick up the pen and write stuff. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.